Breaking news. Billionaire Jeffrey Epstein arrested on new sex trafficking charges. A notorious financier and sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein managed to evade justice for years. Thanks to the relentless efforts of investigative journalist Julie K. Brown, Epstein's dark secrets were finally exposed. In 2018, Miami Herald investigative reporter Julie K. Brown uncovered new information about Epstein and Maxwell's relationship and activities. In this video, I'm going to be revealing to you how Jeffrey Epstein got caught, how Jeffrey Epstein was caught in order to truly understand the extent of Epstein's crimes and the web of corruption that surrounded him. First, we need to delve into the world in which he operated. Palm Beach, Florida, a picturesque town known for its pristine beaches and lavish lifestyle, became a playground for the super rich and famous. It was here that Epstein built his empire, surrounded by celebrity plastic surgeons and even former President Donald Trump, who held court at his glitzy Mar-a-Lago compound. Palm Beach, a satellite of Miami, prides itself on its extravagant charity balls and high-profile events. But beneath the surface of this seemingly idyllic paradise thrived a dark web of corruption. Money spoke with a confident authority that was rarely questioned, allowing individuals like Epstein to wield their power and influence without consequence. Epstein's presence in Palm Beach was no mere wealthy resident. He ingratiated himself into the city's social fabric, attending exclusive events and hobnobbing with the elite. His opulent lifestyle and connections to influential figures granted him a level of protection and access that few could ever dream of. But it was in this world of privilege and excess that Epstein's true colors began to emerge. Behind closed doors, he engaged in heinous acts of sexual coercion and abuse, preying on vulnerable young girls and women. The juxtaposition of the glamorous facade of Palm Beach and the horrors that unfolded in Epstein's mansions is a stark reminder that evil can lurk in the most unexpected places. Epstein's connections in Palm Beach extended beyond the social sphere. He cultivated relationships with influential figures, including lawyers, politicians, and law enforcement officials. These connections would prove instrumental in shielding him from the full force of the law and perpetuating a culture of silence surrounding his crimes. But why was Palm Beach so reluctant to face the truth about Epstein? The answer lies in the intricate web of power dynamics and the fear of tarnishing the city's pristine image. Epstein's wealth and influence allowed him to game the system, giving him advance notice of impending arrests, giving him time to remove potential evidence from his mansion before it could be seized. Despite mounting evidence against Epstein, prosecutors seemed hesitant to bring him to justice. Local police in Palm Beach had uncovered disturbing evidence of sexual coercion and abuse. Unwilling women, young women, and girls had come forward to share their harrowing experiences. Yet Epstein always seemed one step ahead, as if he had insider knowledge of impending arrests. When police finally arrived at Epstein's Palm Beach mansion, they were met with a grisly sight. 6 computer hard drives and video footage from Epstein's internal CCTV system had been taken. Evidence that could have shed light on the extent of Epstein's crimes was now out of reach. This begs the question: how did Epstein manage to evade justice time and time again? The answer lay in the intricate web of power and influence that surrounded him. Epstein's connections within the legal system and his ability to hire high-powered lawyers created a seemingly impenetrable shield of protection. Florida is known for its harsh prison system and lengthy sentences, especially for crimes of the nature Epstein was accused of. Someone accused of similar crimes could have faced decades in jail in a gang-ridden correctional facility. Instead, Epstein received a surprisingly lenient sentence of months, serving less than 13 months in a private wing of the county jail. The terms of Epstein's sentence were extraordinary. Not only was he granted immunity, but also 4 of his aides, shielding them from any related charges. During his incarceration, Epstein enjoyed daily work releases where he had his own driver drive him to the office. At night, he was allowed to sleep with the jail door unlocked and even had access to a separate room with a television. The question on everyone's mind is, how did Epstein get away with it so well? The answer lies in the power and influence he wielded, as well as the prosecution's reluctance to pursue justice to its fullest extent. Epstein's connections within the justice system, including his close ties to then-prosecutor Alexander Acosta, played a significant role in securing his leniency. Acosta, who later became President Donald Trump's labor secretary, approved Epstein's highly favorable plea deal. In a secret meeting at a hotel, Acosta met with Epstein's lead attorney, raising even more questions about the integrity of the prosecution's handling of the case. The leniency shown to Epstein is a glaring example of the justice system's failure to protect society's most vulnerable members. It's a stark reminder that power and privilege can often trump the pursuit of justice. Miami Herald investigative reporter Julie K. Brown embarked on a mission to uncover the truth about Epstein's crimes. Her initial intention was to investigate sex trafficking in Florida, but every time she searched for information, Epstein's name kept popping up. Intrigued by this connection, Brown dug deeper into the case, uncovering a web of corruption and manipulation that had allowed Epstein to evade justice for so long. Her relentless pursuit of the truth led her to discover the extent to which authorities had indulged Epstein and his high-powered lawyers. Despite substantial evidence supporting more serious charges, prosecutors offered Epstein a favorable deal on a relatively minor charge. This leniency stood in stark contrast to the seriousness of his crimes and raised serious questions about the integrity of the justice system. In 2018, Brown's groundbreaking three-part series on Epstein was published in the Miami Herald. Her in-depth reporting shed light on the forgotten victims, the young women who had been coerced and abused by Epstein and his entourage. Brown's interviews with over 60 victims reveal the horrific extent of Epstein's abuse and psychological manipulation to maintain control. Many of these victims came from troubled backgrounds. They had experienced homelessness or domestic violence before falling prey to Epstein. Epstein preyed on their vulnerability by offering false promises of a better life. The stories shared by these survivors were both heartbreaking and courageous as they bravely exposed their abusers. Brown's work not only exposed Epstein's crimes, but also highlighted the flaws in the justice system. The reluctance of prosecutors to pursue justice to the fullest extent and the leniency shown to Epstein were striking. It became clear that powerful individuals like Epstein could manipulate the system to their advantage, leaving victims without the justice they deserved. The impact of Brown's reporting was profound. His series reignited public interest in the case and led federal authorities to reopen their investigation into Epstein. In August 2019, Epstein was arrested by the FBI's NPD's Crimes Against Children Task Force, marking a significant turning point in the pursuit of justice. Sadly, Epstein's arrest was not the end of the story. He was found dead in his Manhattan jail cell a few days later under mysterious circumstances. The circumstances surrounding his death have been the subject of intense speculation, with many questioning the official version of suicide. Jeffrey's crimes. Jeffrey, a name that has become synonymous with scandal and controversy. But who was this enigmatic figure? Let's take a look at his background and early career. Born in 1953 in Brooklyn, New York, Epstein grew up in a middle-class Jewish family. From an early age, he showed a keen interest in mathematics and academia. After graduating from Lafayette High School, Epstein attended Cooper Union in Manhattan, where he studied physics and mathematics. His academic interests led him to pursue a career in education. In the 1970s, he began working as a mathematics teacher at the prestigious Dalton School in New York City. It was at this time that Epstein began to associate with influential people who would later play a role in his life. But Epstein's ambitions extended far beyond the classroom. In the 1970s, he took a career turn and entered the world of finance. He landed a job at the investment bank Bear Stearns, where he made a name for himself. Epstein's intelligence and knack for numbers caught the attention of his colleagues, and he quickly rose through the ranks. In 1982, Epstein decided to go out on his own and founded his own money management firm, Schotta, Epstein & Co. He positioned himself as a financial advisor to the ultra-wealthy, specifically focusing on clients with assets exceeding $1 billion. Epstein's company operated out of the U.S. Virgin Islands, a location known for its favorable tax laws. Epstein's business model was unique. He offered a range of financial services, including tax planning, wealth management, and investment advice. But what set him apart was his ability to discreetly cater to the needs of his wealthy clients. Epstein understood the importance of privacy and confidentiality, and he developed a reputation as a confidant of the rich and powerful. As Epstein's wealth and influence grew, so did his social circle. He began to rub shoulders with some of the world's most influential people, including politicians, celebrities, and even royalty. Epstein's connections opened doors for him and gave him access to a world of privilege and power. But while Epstein appeared to live a life of luxury and success, dark secrets lurked beneath the surface. In 2008, his carefully crafted facade began to crumble. Epstein was arrested and charged with child prostitution. The charges stemmed from allegations that he sexually exploited underage girls at his homes in Manhattan, New York City, and Palm Beach, Florida. In 2008, Epstein reached a controversial plea deal that would spare him from harsher sentences. He pleaded guilty to one felony count of child prostitution and was sentenced to 18 months in prison. However, Epstein only served 13 months and was granted work release, allowing him to leave jail 6 days a week to work in his office. Epstein's lenient sentence sparked outrage and renewed scrutiny of the justice system. Many questioned how a man with such serious allegations against him could receive such a lenient punishment. The case also raised concerns about the influence of wealth and power in the justice system. Epstein's plea deal would come back to haunt him in the years to come. In 2019, he was arrested once again, this time on charges of sex trafficking of minors and conspiracy to commit sex trafficking. The new charges brought renewed attention to Epstein's crimes and the individuals who may have been complicit in his activities. Unfortunately, Epstein would never face trial on these new charges. On August 10, 2019, he was found dead in his jail cell, the victim of an apparent suicide. His death left many unanswered questions and fueled speculation about the circumstances surrounding his demise. Epstein's story continues to captivate the world. His rise from math professor to wealthy financier with connections to the elite. It is a tale of ambition, power, and dark secrets. Jeffrey Epstein's life was marked not only by his crimes but also by his relationships with some of the most influential and powerful people in the world. From politicians to celebrities, Epstein's social circle was a who's who of the elite. Let's delve into the scandalous details of his high-level associates. Jeffrey Epstein's friends Bill Clinton, the 46th President of the United States, maintained a close relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. According to flight logs, Clinton took a total of 4 trips on Epstein's private jet, known as the Lolita Express, between 2002 and 2003. These trips took her to various destinations around the world, including Europe, Asia, and Africa. While Clinton has denied any knowledge of Epstein's horrific crimes, flight logs and other evidence paint a different picture. In fact, Clinton's claim that she had not spoken to Epstein in over a decade contradicts flight logs that show Clinton on Epstein's jet 26 times between 2001 and 2003. Additionally, Gawker's 2015 report on Epstein's small black notebook included 21 contact numbers and multiple email addresses for Clinton. Allegations by Virginia Giuffre, an alleged victim of Epstein's, allege that Clinton visited Epstein's private island. While Clinton denies these claims, they raise serious questions about the nature of her relationship with Epstein. It is important to note that there are no allegations of sexual misconduct involving Epstein involving Clinton. However, the connections between the two raise suspicions and warrant further investigation. Donald Trump, the 45th President of the United States, also had a connection to Jeffrey Epstein. In a 2002 interview, Trump described Epstein as a wonderful guy who enjoyed his social life, especially with younger women. Trump and Epstein were known to be friends for many years. Trump and Epstein not only lived near each other in Palm Beach, but they also ran in the same social circles. Trump even flew on Epstein's private jet, the Lolita Express. Epstein's former employee Virginia Jeffrey alleged that she was recruited by Epstein's longtime friend Ghislaine Maxwell to become one of his sex slaves while she was working at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. It is important to note that Trump has denied these allegations and that there is no concrete evidence linking him to Epstein's criminal activities. However, the connections between Trump and Epstein raise questions about their relationship and the extent of their interactions. Additionally, during the 2016 election, an anonymous California woman filed a lawsuit alleging that Trump and Epstein raped her at Stin's New York mansion in 1994, when she was just 13 years old. Trump denied the allegations and the woman dropped the lawsuit weeks before the election. While the exact nature of Trump's relationship with Epstein remains unclear, the connections between the two raise suspicions and warrant further scrutiny. Jeffrey Stin's network of connections extended beyond Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. Let's explore his relationships with other prominent individuals who were part of his inner circle. One notable figure is Alan Dershowitz, a prominent Harvard law professor. Two women have accused Dershowitz of having sexual relationships with them as part of Epstein's sex trafficking ring. Varinia Giuffre, one of Epstein's alleged victims, claims she was forced to have sex with Dershowitz after she was recruited by Epstein. Dershowitz has long denied these allegations, but they add another layer of darkness to Epstein's inner circle. Ghislaine Maxwell, the daughter of a British publishing magnate, was not only Epstein's girlfriend but also acted as his madam. She has been accused of recruiting teenage girls to become sex slaves. Maxwell has denied these allegations, but her involvement in Epstein's activities raises serious questions about her role in his crimes. Another key figure in Epstein's circle is Leslie Wexner, the CEO of L Brands, which owns Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works. Wexner was once Epstein's biggest client, and their relationship spanned several decades. Epstein famously described Wexner as someone with whom he shared a common mind. Wexner's connection to Epstein raises questions about his knowledge of Epstein's activities and his possible involvement. These individuals, along with many others in Epstein's social circle, were part of a network that enabled his heinous crimes. While not all of them have been charged with crimes, their associations with Epstein raise serious concerns and demand further investigation. One of the most scandalous connections in Jeffrey Epstein's circle is that with Prince Andrew, Duke of York, and Prince Charles's younger brother, Virginia Roberts. Giuffre, an alleged victim of Epstein, has directly accused Prince Andrew of having sex with her when she was underage. She also claimed that she was forced to participate in an orgy with other underage girls and the prince. Buckingham Palace has denied these claims, but the allegations against Prince Andrew have tarnished his reputation and raised serious questions about his relationship with Eden. Moving on to other notable individuals, we have Tom Barrack, a private equity manager and senior advisor to Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Barrack, Epstein, and Trump were described as a band of nightlife musketeers in the 1980s and 1990s. Their close association raises questions about their relationship with Epstein. Their close association raises questions about Barrack's knowledge of Epstein's activities. Morton, a media mogul and former owner of the New York Daily News and The Atlantic, was also involved with Epstein. Superman invested in Epstein's gossip magazine Radar in 2004. However, when the allegations against Epstein came to light, Superman quickly distanced himself from the venture and the magazine folded shortly thereafter. Another prominent figure is Woody Allen, the acclaimed director. Allen attended a dinner at Epstein's Manhattan home in 2010 and was photographed strolling the Upper East Side with him in 2003. Allen's association with Epstein raises questions about his knowledge of Epstein's past activities. These connections to Prince Andrew, Tom Barrack, Mort Zuckerman, and Woody Allen highlight the wide range of individuals who were part of Epstein's social circle. While not all of them have been implicated in Epstein's crimes, their associations raise serious concerns and warrant further investigation. The suicide of Jeffrey Stin. It all began on July 23, 2019, when Epstein first attempted suicide while in custody. The Inspector General's report reveals that Bureau of Prisons employees should have been on high alert following this incident. However, the warning signs were tragically overlooked, setting the stage for a series of serious oversights. On July 30th, an email was sent to 70 employees of the prison's physiological unit ordering that Epstein be housed with a cellmate. Bureau of Prisons staff ignored this crucial directive to ensure his safety. As a result, when Epstein's cellmate was transferred on August 8th, no other inmate was placed in his cell, leaving Epstein alone and vulnerable. The report further highlights the lack of adequate monitoring and controls over Epstein during this critical period. After 10:40 p.m. on August 9th, Epstein was left unchecked and unmonitored until officials discovered him hanging from his cell the following morning. This revelation raises serious questions about the level of neglect and disregard for Epstein's well-being, but the failures did not stop there. The Inspector General's report sheds light on the Metropolitan Correctional Center's flawed camera system that left Epstein's cell unmonitored and his actions undocumented. This egregious oversight allowed Epstein to carry out his tragic plan undetected. Furthermore, severe staffing shortages and structural problems at the prison further contributed to the breakdown in security and oversight. The report reveals that multiple Bureau of Prisons employees submitted false documents claiming to have conducted required headcounts and rounds when in fact they had not. This blatant deception and lack of accountability within the system is deeply troubling. As the investigation unfolded, it became clear that members of the prison staff repeatedly misled the Inspector General. One supervisor, despite being named in the July 2019 email stating that Epstein was required to have a roommate, claimed to be unaware of this requirement. This deliberate attempt to deceive and cover up the truth only adds to the scandalous nature of this case. The report also sheds light on the disturbing condition of Epstein's cell following his death. When investigators searched the room, they discovered extra sheets, another mattress, and a noose. These findings suggest that Epstein had been planning his suicide for some time, and the presence of these items raises questions about how they went unnoticed by prison staff. Further dispelling any doubts about the nature of Epstein's death, the medical examiner who performed the autopsy detailed why his injuries were consistent with suicide by hanging rather than homicide by strangulation. The report notes that the ligature wound was too wide to have been caused by the electrical cord of the medical device in Epstein's cell. Additionally, toxicology tests of his blood revealed no illegal drugs or substances in Epstein's system. The absence of any signs of a struggle, such as traces under his fingernails or bruising on his body, further supports the conclusion that Epstein's death was indeed a suicide. The report begins by confirming that Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in August 2019. It dispels any lingering doubts about foul play, stating that the evidence overwhelmingly supports the conclusion that Epstein took his own life. The medical examiner who performed the autopsy detailed injuries that were consistent with suicide by hanging rather than homicide by strangulation. This revelation puts to rest any conspiracy theories surrounding Epstein's death. One of the report's most alarming findings is that the Bureau of Prisons failed to adequately monitor Epstein in the month leading up to his suicide. The report highlights missed opportunities to prevent this tragedy, beginning with Epstein's first suicide attempt on July 23 at 2 building level. Bureau of Prisons employees should have been on high alert following this incident. However, the warning signs were tragically ignored. The report also exposes the severe understaffing and structural problems within the Metropolitan Correctional Center. It reveals that multiple Bureau of Prisons employees submitted false documents, falsely claiming to have conducted required headcounts and rounds. This deception not only highlights the lack of accountability within the system, but also raises serious questions about the integrity of prison staff. Additionally, the facility's flawed camera system is jarring to say the least. Epstein's cell was left unguarded, allowing him to carry out his plan undetected. This lapse in surveillance is deeply troubling and raises questions about the overall security measures in place at the Metropolitan Correctional Center. The report also addresses the actions of Officer Michael Thomas, who is criminally charged in connection with Epstein's death. When Thomas discovered Epstein unresponsive in his cell, he allegedly exclaimed, "Breathe, Epstein, breathe." This statement, as recorded in the report, adds a chilling dimension to the events surrounding Epstein's suicide. Thomas's subsequent comment, "We're going to have a lot of trouble," further underscores the gravity of the situation. Jeffrey Epstein's death in his cell on August 10, 2019, shocked the world. His apparent suicide left many unanswered questions and fueled speculation about the circumstances surrounding his demise. But the story did not end with Epstein's death. In fact, it marked the beginning of a new chapter in the ongoing legal battles and investigations surrounding his crimes. Epstein's death effectively ended the criminal case against him, as he would never be tried on charges of sex trafficking of minors and conspiracy to commit sex trafficking. However, his alleged victims were determined to seek justice and hold those involved accountable. Several of Epstein's victims came forward and filed civil lawsuits against his estate, seeking compensation for the trauma they suffered. These lawsuits sought to shed light on the scope of Epstein's sex trafficking operation and who may have been complicit in his crimes. The unsealing of court documents in January 2024 added another layer of complexity to the legal battles. These documents were part of a defamation lawsuit filed by Virginia Guffer against Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's ex-girlfriend and former business associate. The documents included testimony from Epstein's victims, as well as witnesses and other evidence relevant to the case. Declassified court documents offered a glimpse into the disturbing world of Epstein's sex trafficking operation, revealing the stories of courageous survivors who were exploited and abused by Epstein and his associates. The testimonies described a well-organized network that targeted vulnerable young women, luring them into a life of exploitation and manipulation. As the legal battles unfolded, more shocking revelations emerged. It became clear that Epstein's crimes were not limited to his properties in Manhattan, New York City, and Palm Beach, Florida. Reports emerged about his international connections and alleged involvement in sex trafficking. On a global scale, the fallout from Epstein's crimes extended to his high-profile associates as well. Prince Andrew, who had faced allegations of sexual misconduct with one of Epstein's alleged victims, Virginia Giuffre, found himself at the center of a media storm. In a no-holds-barred interview with the news, Prince Andrew denied the allegations, stating that he had no recollection of ever meeting Giuffre. The interview garnered widespread criticism and forced him to step back from his royal duties. Epstein's death did not end investigations into his associates. Law enforcement continued to pursue leads and gather evidence to hold those involved accountable. The spotlight turned to Ghislaine Maxwell, who was arrested in July 2020 on charges related to Epstein's sex trafficking operation. In June 2022, Maxwell was convicted on 5 of 6 counts and sentenced to 20 years in prison. The legal battles surrounding Epstein's crimes have shed light on the systemic failures that allowed him to operate for so long. Questions have been raised about the role of law enforcement, the justice system, and the influence of wealth and power in protecting individuals from accountability. Epstein's crimes have had a lasting impact on his victims, who continue to seek justice and healing. Her courage in speaking out has sparked a global conversation about the prevalence of sex trafficking and the need for systemic change to protect vulnerable individuals. As legal battles continue, the focus remains on uncovering the truth, holding those involved accountable, and providing support and resources to survivors. Jeffrey Stein's legacy serves as a reminder of the importance of vigilance, transparency, and the pursuit of justice. That brings this video to a close. We hope you enjoyed it. To watch more videos like this, click on the cards on your screen. Yeah.